remember how to do that. Because he is with you and will be in you. Listen to what he said. He's talking to non-born-again disciples. His 12 disciples who became apostles are not born again in John 17. Why? Jesus hasn't died.
That's right.
He has not shed his blood for the forgiveness of their sins, so they cannot be born again. They're doing everything because they're under his anointing and under his authority. They're not saved. And he says to them, the Holy Spirit is with you. Because the Holy Spirit is with every person born on the face of the earth. I already said that to you. And I'm just going to repeat myself here for about 5 minutes. And so before you were born again, to bring you to the foot of the cross, and therefore to salvation, the Holy Spirit is walking beside you, convicting you of sin, yours, righteousness, his, and the coming judgment, hell, if you don't get saved. That's his job. Get you to the foot of the cross. And so the Holy Spirit is with you until you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So he's with every person born on the face of the earth. When I go into a coffee shop back in Regina and witness some kid that's sitting there drinking coffee, the Holy Spirit is already working in his life. All I'm doing is joining what the Holy Spirit is doing. I'm not there by myself out in the middle of the ocean wondering what I'm supposed to do. Okay, second step is the Holy Spirit coming in you. Same verse. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, he lives with you, he will be in you. That happened to the disciples when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room after his resurrection from the dead. And that happens to us where we don't get born again. So the Holy Spirit comes into them and they are born again. Here's what happened. Jesus appears, they're scared to death. He says, oh, don't be worried, don't fear not. It's really me. I've been raised from the dead. And then John chapter 20 says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. A Jewish person, remember, John was written for the Jews. So John chapter 20, every Jew would know what he meant. That in the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit breathed life into the creation. And they would understand that this was the Holy Spirit breathing new life into a born-again creature. They would parallel it immediately to Genesis chapter 1. And so here's where they're getting saved, and now the Holy Spirit is living in them. Amen? Not Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's 5'7" Jewish. He wouldn't fit in your heart. What's he doing there? He's forever making intercession for us to the Father. And he's there until the restoration of all things. There's four more things to be restored back to the church, and then Jesus can return. Another teaching. Number three, then the Holy Spirit is upon you. So Jesus continues to speak to what are now his born-again disciples and tells them there's more. Luke 24. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised in the gospel, in the prophet Joel chapter 2. He's promised it to you. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Look up here. Where do you wear your clothes? On the outside. When you're saved, where's the Holy Spirit? On the inside. So he's talking about a second encounter here with the Spirit of God, where it's going to come upon you like you wear a hat, and he's going to clothe you with power. So the Holy Spirit was with the disciples throughout their ministry until Jesus died on the cross. And then Jesus appeared to them, and now the Holy Spirit is in them. Jesus now says to born-again disciples, that's great, but stay where you are until you receive the Holy Spirit coming upon you, because you're going to need the power to be my witness. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, where? Upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Of course, that happened in Acts chapter 2. This is what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why do we call it a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Because the word baptism means super saturated, totally sopping wet. And so when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're super saturated, totally sopping wet with the power and the Spirit of God. You have to believe that. See, That's what Peter said, and he's quoting Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on, not in, on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. That's a good way to get a prophecy. Your old men will dream dreams. That's another good way to get a prophecy. I've never had a dream from God because I'm not old. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will... So he's quoting the prophet Joel, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever checked it out? He didn't quote it right. He misquoted it. Something us preachers never do, of course. If you were to read this in the prophet Joel, those last four words are not there. And they will prophesy. Peter added an emphasis on purpose by the Holy Spirit. He added a second reference to prophecy. Why? Because the early church, the church that Jesus is building, was meant to be prophetic.
Yes.
Not pathetic, not pastoral. Prophetic. Hear the voice of God, do what he says.
That's right.
Hear the voice of God, speak what he says. See what God is doing, do it. And so he added that extra reference in there, that you shall all prophesy, because the church was meant to be supernatural from the very beginning. And so all I've said is the Holy Spirit is with people, then he's in people if they get born again, saved, and then he's upon them. And that's a separate experience. It may be 2 seconds after you get saved, it may be 3 months after you get saved, but it is a second encounter with the living God. And if you don't have the baptism, you don't have the power. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Good. Let me tell it to you another way. Turn page, I think. The Bible says in John 4, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give to him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit welling up inside of you, proving to you that you are born again, that you have eternal life, that you have a relationship with the living God. It's a reference in John 4 to being saved. But in John 7, Jesus goes on to say, in your notes, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams or rivers of living waters will flow within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Because up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is saying in John 4, you need the Spirit like a well inside of you. It's going to water you, keep you alive spiritually. It's your relationship with God. But in John 7, he's saying you need a second encounter where this thing is going to be so powerful, so real, so alive, that it's going to be like a river flowing out from the inside of you so that you can touch other people. The river will water a lot of people, the well waters you. So you get saved, you sit down, self-centered, it's all about you and Jesus. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's all about the lost.
Right.
It's all about going into the world and get the lost saved. Because you got the water. You got lots of water. You got the river. You got 9 gifts of the Spirit. Because you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
So listen, it can happen immediately. You get born again, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or you can get born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit 3 months later. Depends on what you taught, where you got saved, and who led you to it. So in Acts 8, they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God. Please note, he preached the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation, and the name of Jesus Christ. So they were baptized, both men and women. When the apostles, that's verse 12, I skip a verse. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Well, they already did. The Holy Spirit was inside each of these new believers, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been saved and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was about a week between getting saved under Philip's ministry and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit under the apostles' ministry. Amen?
Amen.
So second encounter, second experience, needed if you're going to have the power needed to be the witness that we are called to have in the world today. Next page, next point, whatever, your manual and mine aren't quite synced. There's a practical guide to your private prayer language, and you can read all of that. But listen, the religious denomination has taught us that the initial sign of the baptism is speaking in tongues. So if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can speak in a private prayer language. Private prayer language is only mentioned one place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, I pray in tongues, personal prayer. I wish all of you did too. But all of a sudden made it a sign. Right? Because the Pentecostal church in 1906 in Azusa Street decided that if you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the way we would know it was you spoke in tongues. But you know what else they did? They would figure out what country it sounded like that tongue came from. They'd buy you a one-way ticket on a steamboat to that country so that you'd become the evangelist to those people because you now speak their language. And you couldn't return. You had a one-way ticket. Gee, we don't do that part anymore. But it was a private prayer language. It wasn't public tongues, which is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that works with power. So let me ask you a question. We read Acts 19, that you know John the Baptist's disciples got born again under Paul, got baptized in water, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So why don't we tell everybody prophecy is number one sign of being born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible does say you should all prophesy, you should earnestly desire to prophesy, you should seek after prophecy. It doesn't say seek after a private prayer language. So why have we made this distinction? Because a religion told us, a denomination interpreted the scripture, and we swallowed it. In Luke 9, Jesus said, if you were an evil father, how much, and you and your son asked you for a loaf of bread, you'd give him a loaf of bread, not a stone, right?
Yeah.
Or he asked you for an egg, you wouldn't give him a scorpion. A baby scorpion, when it's asleep, rolls itself up in a ball, looks like an egg, and it's white. That's why that stupid comment was made. So you being evil will always give your children good things. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? So why do you need a sign? Just ask. Oh yeah, but I need a sign. Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and none will be given to it. So let's kill this sign thing. You ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit,
receive it.
Amen.
Period.
Yeah. Amen.
So Ralph, did you speak in tongues after you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Not for 90 days. How did you know you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? I asked God.
Yes.
And he's a good God and a heavenly Father. And he gave it to me. A few days after he gave it to me, I actually saw a demon. So the first gift I had floated was the discerning of spirits. I didn't even know there was a gift called the discerning of spirits. I saw this gigantic demon over the top of one of my churches, and I went, wow! I don't know everything. I just started where you're starting. Okay. So don't worry about tongues. Just ask God for the baptism and believe he gave it to you. Receive it, and you got it. Will the gift of tongues come? Yes. All right. There's also something else called refilled and refreshed. And so you can read that for yourself. Because in Acts 2, they got filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, they're asking for more. So there's no reason you cannot ask for more. Amen? Okay. We want to do getting free from the occult tonight. So, there is a lot of involvement in the occult that we didn't know we were involved in because we were not aware it was really the occult. Okay, so what we want to do is we want you to examine your involvement. We're going to go down a list of occultish type things, and I want you to look at these things even if you did them as a child, even if you did them before you were saved, even if you did it in another denomination or another church, even if you were a victim of these things, you must deal with them. Okay, example. One night in seminary, we'd been out drinking. I didn't learn a thing about the Bible or God in seminary, but when you pay $43,000 for a master's degree, you have to learn something, so I learned to drink. I exceeded in it. And I was a little tipsy when we got back, and we went into a big meeting room we used to have where the students would go, and we were drinking more wine, and we decided we'd have a seance, and we would put all these letters around the table to turn the glass over and ask the spirit some questions. And the spirit was really smart. It answered all the questions right. And I thought this was a big joke. I mean, I didn't believe it. I just thought it was a joke. I was two-thirds to the wind, and it was funny. Right. So, get ordained, and, you know, 6 years later, get saved, and then get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then I switch churches, and I'm running a Christian bookstore to make money to feed my family while I'm trying to plant a church. And in the middle of all this, God says, do you remember the seance with the Ouija board and the glass? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, I forgave you for that. And I said, thank you. And he said, but you never renounced it. So you've been forgiven, but it's still bondage in your life. It's still a ball and chain on your leg, and it's preventing you from hearing me because you never renounced it. And I said, God, I didn't take it seriously. He said, I do. This is serious stuff. Second example. My father was a 32nd degree Mason. I didn't know anything about Masons. I knew he went out and dressed up funny once a week to the Masonic Lodge down the street. But I didn't know anything about Masons. And one day I said to God, God, you know, I hear you, but it's like a lot of static, and I have to really struggle to hear exactly what you're saying and get it right. And I would sure love you to tune the radio station a little better and kill the static. And God said, you have to renounce the Masonic Lodge. And I said, never been in it? Know nothing about it. He said, your father was. And it was the authority in your house. And he brought it in, and you lived under it. It's affected you. Renounce it. So whether you are part of it, or directly or indirectly, you need to get rid of these kinds of things out of your life. If you really want to seriously hear God, see God, and deal with things that God is dealing with. So, you see these little boxes in front of each line. I'm going to ask you to tick mark the ones that you really need to renounce. I didn't say you weren't forgiven, you are. You need to renounce them. And what we're going to do, listen, this is dangerous stuff. We're going to get into little groups of three at the end, and you're going to read the ones that you tick marked. So that two other people hear, whether they know you or not, they're relevant, hear you renounce them. And then they're going to pray for you, and then you're going to listen to them read down the list of the ones they tick marked, and they're going to renounce it. You hear what we're doing? We're going to set you free. And tomorrow morning, when you get out of bed, the grass is going to be greener, the sky is going to be bluer, and your wife's going to be wifier. Question?
Do you want to explain what renounce means?
Yes, that comes at the end. I don't want to scare you right now. All right, have you ever had your fortune told in any way, using a crystal ball, cards, tea leaves, palm reading, pendulum, Ouija board, etc.? Or have you ever played with those things for fun? If the answer is yes, tick mark it. Have you read or followed horoscopes, heard them on radio, or any other form of astrology? I do not buy the newspaper in Regina. It has horoscopes. I listen to none of the Regina radio stations. They all do horoscopes. I'm serious about this stuff. Number three, have you been hypnotized or used hypnotism in any way? Number four, have you been involved in any form of yoga? Number five, have you attended a seance or a spiritualist meeting or consulted a medium? Have you had a life or reincarnation reading, or do you believe in being recycled? Reincarnated. I'm coming back as a vet. They make more money than preachers. Have you played so-called games of an occult nature such as Kreskin's ESP, telepathy, Kabbalah, Dungeons and Dragons? Have you watched television programs that involve the occult? I'm sorry, I don't watch television, so I had to pick programs that I used to watch. you know, Harrison Ford movies like Indiana Jones or the Ghostbusters, or have you read Harry Potter, or can we keep going? Any of those kinds of books, movies. You know, if you've watched the Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movies with the Nazis and the altars and, you know, people melting and the going after the Ark of the Covenant, you tick mark this one. You need to get rid of that crap. Okay, sought spiritual healing in any way other than through Jesus Christ. Psychic healer, spiritualist, mediums, charmers, magic conjugation, a witch doctor, a medicine man in the First Nations reserves, any way at all. Have you been involved in Christian Science or any other mind science religions, such as Unity, Science of Mind, Religious Science? Have you used clairvoyance in any way, such as consulting a clairvoyance to find lost objects or to find water by water witching or dowsing? Everybody know what that is? It's when you get a twig or a branch and it's got a Y in it, and you go along, and when you hit the water, it goes down. My wife can do that. That's how they found the water on the farm. When she renounced it, she went from 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 to 9. And she thought there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, they found a well. They had water. Okay, practicing table lifting or levitation, bending spoons, moving objects, no, any like that. Practicing automated writing. Possessed or carried a charm or a fetish to protect you, so an amulet, a rabbit's foot, a lucky coin, your first dollar that you earned in the business that's hanging on the wall. Do you read or own literature on the occult or psychic subjects, even novels? Have you tried to dominate or control other people? I had to renounce that. I was trying to make my wife perfect like me. I told her she was a charmer. She's a keeper. She's lived through hell and back with me several times. Have you been involved in satanic groups or Satan worship? Taking any of the so-called mind-expanding drugs, LSD, marijuana, any kind of drugs at all that set you on a high? Have you possessed any occult or pagan religious objects or pictures, a Buddha, a tiki? So I married a couple who got saved, and they've been living together for years, and so they separated. I did a wedding. They're a wonderful couple. They took them to our church, and so they went to some island someplace for, they're very wealthy people. They went to some island someplace for a honeymoon. They came back, and they gave us this wonderful mass, you know, beautiful. I'm sure they paid a couple hundred bucks for this thing. They entered into our house, and my wife and I immediately started to fight about totally insignificant things we never thought about, never thought about in our lives. I took that object out back and burnt it. It literally screamed at me, and we stopped fighting. They've never asked me about the gift, and I've been thankful since. Because we don't have it anymore. We didn't have it for 24 hours. So be careful what's come into your house and where it was before and what it might have brought in with it, okay? Have you been involved in magic, witchcraft, sorcery, casting of spells, or hexes? Have you practiced transcendental meditation or any other kind of passive meditation? If you have sat, emptied your mind, and kind of hummed a hum, you know, that's passive meditation. Biblical meditation is you don't empty your mind, because if you do that, the demons will enter your mind. It's empty. Biblical meditation is you fill your mind with the Word of God and meditate on the Word. So passive meditation. Have you practiced astral projection or travel, mind reading, telepathy, thought transference, clairvoyance, ESP, attempted to use the power of mind over matter? Have you been involved in any other religion other than Christianity or Judaism? Have you been involved in the Masons, the Elks, the Shriners, the Order of the Royal Purple, or related organizations? Or have other family members been part of those organizations? Have you been involved with homosexuality, active participant, a watcher of, or a victim of? In seminary, semi-cripple, couldn't walk, couldn't run, gang-raped many times, 36 students, 33 of them gay. I was a target. So I was a victim. That's what God healed me of. That's why the anger, the resentment, the bitterness had to rise up out of me. I hated any guy. Gals were fine. You hugged me, I'd cut your arm off. And God healed me of that, but then I had to renounce it because I was a victim. I didn't cause it. I just couldn't outrun it. Okay? Follower of an Elvis cult, Michael Jackson fan club. Have you read or watched pornography of any kind? Guys, be honest. Have you listened to music or watched music videos that did not honor God? Teenagers, be honest. Are you involved in martial arts on any level? Have you done acupuncture? Have you opened a fortune cookie? I go to a restaurant on a weekly basis with the leadership team I work with, and they hand out fortune cookies because that's the only dessert they have, and we always hand them back and say, no, thank you. The Buddhists may believe in this because it's a Buddhist restaurant, but we don't. And so now we're getting to witness to them. So, all right. Images and icons in the Roman Catholic Church, Orthodox Church, or any church. You know, have you prayed to a statue? Do you hang icons that bleed on you or cry on you? Have you been involved in native spirituality, sweetgrass ceremonies, powwows, rain dances, sun dances, round dances, jingle dances, First Nations funerals, dream catchers, sweat lodges? Have you ever made an offering to the dead? Where I come from, every year there's a special Sunday where they go out to the gravesides, and they actually, in their gravesides, they actually build tables and benches so that you can sit next to the graves of your loved ones and have a meal with them. It's a day when you honor your ancestors, and you talk to them, and you eat with them, and you actually do sit and have a picnic in a graveyard next to Mama and Papa or Grandma and Grandpa. So if you're doing, you know, and I don't know if that happens other places, but it happens there, so it's on the list. All right, necromancy, communicating with the dead. So have you ever prayed to a dead saint, communicated with somebody who died, and you think they revisited you after they died? No way. Naturopathic medicine, be careful. Prostitution, male or female. If you've ever used your body to gain something, then you've done it wrong. Gambling, that's worshiping a Persian god called luck. So if you have bought a lottery ticket, you're kidding. No, I'm not. If you're buying lottery tickets, you're not relying and trusting God to meet your needs. You're looking for God's, for the luck, God of luck. It's a Persian god. I've had one lottery ticket in my life. It was handed to me in Brandon, Manitoba on my way back from Winnipeg because it was a freebie when you filled up with gas at the 7-Eleven. I threw it away. I may have won a million, but I don't know, and I don't care. You with me? Most of you have to tick mark that because you bought a Super Bowl or something, or, you know. Pokemon. Have you ever played Pokemon or any other card, magic card game? If you've ever gone out on Halloween or allowed your children to go out on Halloween, if you've had an abortion, that's the spirit of Moloch. You are sacrificing children to an Old Testament god, a Baal god. If you have superstitions, walking under a ladder, spilling salt, breaking a mirror, black cats crossing your path, if you're overly caught up in demonology, if you chase demons, you're always looking for a demon. Video games of the spiritual kind, read or watched Harry Potter, communicated with angels. Got any other ones you'd like to add? Let me add a couple. Reflexology, wearing a copper bracelet to organize the electronic internals of your body. If you've gone to the third heaven and come back, communicated a revelation from third heaven. If you have talked to the cloud of witnesses, there's lots of Christian teachings that are all occultish. You look like you don't believe me. How many of you know who Rick Joyner is?
Yeah.
Rick Joyner, right? Prophetic, Rick Joyner. Good. Mm-hmm. He communicates with the dead. He talks to dead people. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, it says we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. So he has a theology of teaching going around the world that we can communicate with the dead. It's called the cloud of witnesses theology. Excuse me, God said in the Old Testament, we do not communicate with the dead. Period. Jesus said there's a great gulf fixed between us and the dead. And there's no way to cross over. Now we have prophetic, well-respected leaders in the Christian church teaching that we can talk to the dead. What's the difference between talking to the dead and praying to St. Jude? Praying to St. Jude is talking to the dead, or St. Christopher, or St. whoever. So all of a sudden we're becoming Catholic? So you've got to watch what you're listening to. That's a teaching that has gone worldwide in the last 3 years. Canadian brought about the third heaven. You know, Paul went into the third heaven, so we can lie down on the floor and say certain little phrases, and we'll end up in the third heaven and get a revelation like Paul. Excuse me, you weren't invited. Paul was invited to the third heaven. We're not. Paul received revelation, and it humbled him so much he wouldn't even tell people he'd been there. He said, I know a man who, whether in body or out of body, went into the third heaven. He wouldn't admit it was him. So we have people being taught by a Canadian, been going around the world for a decade, that we can go into the third heaven and talk to Jesus and receive revelation. Why do you need to go into the third heaven? Jesus came here. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Why would you want to communicate with a dead person when you can communicate with the Spirit of God? Let's start using our heads. So all of these Christian teachings, if you have listened to them, absorbed them, maybe even believed them, tick mark it and renounce them. Question. Yes, I read the book, Heaven is for Real. Yes, that's a boy who supposedly died and went to heaven and saw all these things, including a sister who had been an aborted child or a stillborn child. And, yep.
So that would be under?
That would be under somewhere. Fill it in. It's not true. It's a demonic deception. I know it's a cute story, and I'm sure the movie was wonderful. I read the book. I've read many books about, you know, people dying, going into hell or going into heaven and coming back and telling you the story. Excuse me, read your Bible. You can't do that. It's demonic. It's a way to deceive God's people into believing that. You know, so you die and you see a light in a valley. How do you know the devil didn't give you the light in the valley? How do you know that's God? The devil can disguise himself as an angel of light.
What about people that like die on the operating table, like for, and then they come back to life and they say that they saw heaven, and what do you say with that?
I would say they died on the operating table and some doctor saved their life and brought them back to life. And whatever they saw, I wouldn't believe. Because you can't do that. The Bible says you can't do that.
What about Enoch and Elijah?
Enoch and Elijah are two special people. Both of them went into heaven without dying. Physically into heaven.
So are they dead or are they alive?
No, they're alive. They're going to be the two witnesses in the book of Revelation who die on Main Street.
So if they come to visit and say, give me a word.
No. Why do you need Enoch and Elijah to talk to you when you have the Holy Spirit? Why are you settling for a lesser thing than God? You've got to start thinking. Listen, Todd Bentley, love him, I met him. Great guy. Stupid, great guy. Listen, he will not pray for healing until the angel shows up. Oh, so Jesus isn't enough anymore. We need Jesus and an angel. Or he won't pray for healing until the wind begins to blow. Oh, so now Jesus isn't enough. We need Jesus, an angel, and the wind? Why are you communicating with dead people? Isn't Jesus good enough? He's alive. See, do you need Jesus and St. Jude? Why don't you pray to Mary then? Because the Roman Catholics do. Because Jesus isn't good enough. And if he doesn't answer, you can go over his head to his mama. You got to start thinking. Question.
So you were saying that it says in the Bible that you can't do that. Like people die on the operating
I didn't say they didn't die and the doctors brought them back. I'm saying that Jesus says that no one has been there and come back to tell them.
Where does it state that?
In several spots. The only person who has done it is Jesus. He died, went to hell, and he came back and told us about hell.
I would like some reference.
Okay,
if
I can find them. I can find those for you. That's not a problem. Question?
Well, Jesus, he had on the Mount of Transfiguration, he had an encounter with Moses and Elijah.
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
So that would be, he did.
Mm-hmm. Are you Jesus?
Well, you just said everything that Jesus could do, we could do.
You've got to take it in context. What he did was heal the sick, raise the dead, etc. He didn't do that. You're not going to see Moses and Elijah. That was a very specific time when God was saying, the ministry of Jesus, my son, fulfills the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. Why would he want to do that a second time? You don't fulfill the law and the prophet.
Amen.
So again, take it in context. What was God establishing by that Mount of Transfiguration? That Jesus was the fulfillment of the whole of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets.
What about when Stephen,
as he's dying, had a vision of Jesus standing in heaven. Fine, visions are great. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. That's biblical. Not a problem. We're not allowed to communicate with the dead. They're dead.
But he says, I'm the God of the living. And he says, I'm the God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac.
All he was saying was, I'm the God who's always been.
Yes.
I'm not just, and that they are alive now in heaven.
They are alive.
Yes, in heaven. And you're not there. You're on earth.
So how do you know if you're having a vision?
You would know if it was a vision given to you by God. You can have an open vision or a closed vision. A closed vision is when you're worshiping, say, with your eyes closed and you see something on the inside of your eyelids. That's a closed vision. If you were worshiping here tonight and all of this disappeared and you saw something totally different than the rest of us were seeing, that's an open vision. And both of those are ways to receive prophetic revelation. You are. You have the authority that he has, because that's what seated in heavenly places means. You're not in a heavenly place. You're in a little town called Morton.
But my spirit is there with him.
No, your spirit is here in your body. If it disappears, you're dead.
No, my spirit can go through different dimensions.
Your spirit is in your body, and it's what you are. It's your essence. You were created in God's image. John 4 says, the Heavenly Father, he is spirit, and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So the part of you that is created in God's image is your spirit, which was separated from God by sin. And when you got born again, that became alive because it got born again. And now your spirit can relate to God who is spirit. Your spirit leaves your body to go to heaven or walk through some dimension someplace. You're dead. It can't leave your body. It's the essence of who you are. And when you die, it's your spirit, your character, your nature, the thing that made you in God's image that goes to heaven. So some of these teachings need to be corrected very quickly because they're occultish teachings that we have just bought because Christian leaders have made fancy videos or they're on television or they went on It's Supernatural with Sid Roth, and because they had an experience, it was God. You may have been deceived by a spirit or even the devil himself who's disguised himself as an angel of light. Your only authority is the Bible, not some guy's experience, or not your experience. That upset some of you. Mm-hmm.
John 3:13 says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven.
That's Jesus. That's right. And the only one who's ever gone to hell and come back again is Jesus. Period. You don't have the right to do it. You don't have the need to do it. Questions?
Well, she
she just said, whatever the Lord said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Because God has, because in the kingdom of God, in heaven, there is no past, present, and future. It's all now. Now faith is. So it's all now. So when God looked at Abram and said, he didn't say, you're going to be the father of many nations. He said, you are. Why? Because in heaven, there is no past, present, and future. God had already seen that in the future, for Abram, he would be the father of many nations. So he came back and spoke what was not already done, as if it were, and it came to pass. And that's Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God spoke what was not, as if it were, and released the power of God to bring it to pass. That's prophecy. God was prophesying over Abram. But he made it sound like it was already an established fact. It was, in heaven. It just hadn't happened yet in the time frames of earth.
With Revelation and John, now that was a vision that he went into. He saw heaven, he saw the people that had died, he had seen the moon, everything like that. Could it be that sometimes we, what we're experiencing here and talking about, that it might be the visions that we are seeing and then we are...
thinking we went to heaven.
Well, whatever, like the... Yeah. Like, so there might be a place where we can kind of can come to a... We know what we experienced, you know, and yeah, could it be just prophecy, visions?
I think many people have a vision of what heaven is like. John did, John the Apostle, in the book of Revelation. It was a vision. But he didn't leave the earth to get it. Old men shall dream dreams. He probably had a dream, wrote it down. He was an old man. That was Paul, because he was embarrassed about what was happening to him, and because he didn't want to admit it was him, and he wasn't sure how he did it. He just knew what he saw in the revelation God gave him, which became half the New Testament. So Paul said, I know a man who wouldn't admit it was him. Why? Because if you ever get what Paul got, all this revelation of who Jesus is and how the church is to be built, etc., you'd be humbled too. So when you go to the third heaven, come back and brag about some revelation, excuse me, you didn't go to third heaven. Because it would have humbled you so much, you would have had to say, gee, I think I know somebody who said this. And he wasn't sure how he got into the third heaven, whether he did it spiritually or physically. He did not know. So he's being very honest. Question?
I think some of this confusion comes due to the fact that when Adam ate of the fruit, God said he would die. And when he died, his spirit died.
No. When he ate of the fruit, if I've misunderstood you, sorry. Yes. When he ate of the fruit, he spiritually died.
Yes.
Okay. And see if I can. Tomorrow morning, I'll have a big piece of paper and I'll show you how to diagram what happened. So, Adam was created a spiritual creature in God's image. So you have spirit, he has a body, because you need to have a body to live on the planet Earth, and he had a soul, mind, will, and emotion, so he could communicate with other people, right? Okay, so he was a spirit creature, and he communicated and worked as a spirit. His spirit was in control. When sin came, his spirit went from top to the bottom of the three boxes, and now he's controlled by his soul, his mind, his will. It looks good, it tastes good, I think I can become, you know, so he made a decision. And so now he's got his soul running his life, and he's in a body still, he's on the planet Earth, he needs an Earth suit, and his spirit is dead. All right, so the cross comes, Jesus dies, and all of a sudden your spirit can be reborn. So it goes back to the top, and you become a new creature in Christ, you become spirit. And it controls your soul, and it controls, with the Holy Spirit living in it, controls your body. Now you can walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Now you fulfill God's plan, God's will, not your will. So all of a sudden, you're back where you're supposed to be. It reversed the curse and put us back into the same position Adam was, walking in the garden with God, listening, hearing, sharing hearts. Make sense?
travel at all?
No.
Okay.
Other than traveling to preach the gospel, yes.
I have a question for you then. Because Satan is the great imitator, and astral projection is a very real thing,
yes, it is.
Do you not believe that it is being imitated?
Yes, that's why I backed up. So, there was a Pentecostal guy, his name has slipped my mind. He was the only Pentecostal man invited to Vatican Council II in the 1960s, because he was so well respected by even the Catholics. And he tells the story, I met him and heard the story. They were having an elders meeting, one elder on the other side of the city couldn't come because he was sick, on to death, he was dying. And so they held this elders meeting, and God said that they were to go over and pray for him. And so four elders plus this guy, sorry, I can't remember his name. They walked out the front door. This guy went first. The first step he took under the doorstep, the next step was into the elder's house. The other four elders drove across the city. And when they got there, this guy was there. And he'd already prayed for the man who would have died, and they would have lost him. Except this guy got there in one split second and prayed for him. And when the other elders showed up, they were sitting up having coffee. And I've heard that happen two or three different times. And they're documented stories. So you can do that. But it's to pray. It's not just for fun. There's a reason for it. And it happens very infrequently.
There's kingdom purpose.
Yes, kingdom purposes. And the devil can duplicate that, counterfeit it with astral projection.
Okay, so if there is, okay, you're admitting that there is spiritual travel. When Jesus was crucified and the veil was rent, was it not rent in the spirit world for us to travel to some degree? I'm not talking about a person necessarily going in and out of heaven as they please.
No.
But there are people that have...
No, it was rent. It was rent in two from top to bottom, so that God was showing us that he was now available, that you did not need a sacrifice. The sacrifice had been paid permanently, that you could go into the Holy of Holies, which was behind the veil. And then Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, says that. You can come into the throne room of God at any time. There you will find grace for every need that you have. That's all that was a symbol of. That God was coming out from behind the veil in the Holy of Holies and was now available to us through the shed blood of Jesus. There is no other implication in that. If you need something else into that, you're making it up.
Well,
yep.
Where am I? The incident in Philip in Acts,
yep,
right after he baptized the
transferred,
eunuch.
Yep.
Yes, but same. That was physical travel on
that's
this
right.
planet.
That's right.
It's physical.
Yeah,
planet.
And it's the same as this guy who went out the
yes.
front door and into the front door on the other side. And there's three or four stories like that over the last 20 years. But be very careful that we are getting very close to being occultish in some of our beliefs. And it's being pushed by Christians who have big names. So just go back to your Bible. That's your only authority. Rick Joyner's not your authority. Ralph Powell's not your authority. Go back to your Bible. Don't be deceived. Okay, we have 10 minutes, because we do have a limit here. You're going to break into groups of three. And if you have tick-marked any of these, you're going to need to renounce it. So if you turn the page for a second or look at what we put in there, it will tell you how to receive deliverance. Number one, confess your faith in Christ. You can just read what's there if you want. Number two, verbally confess any participation in the occult. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I have sinned against you and your word by going to a seance, by having my father involved in the Masonic Lodge, by water witching, whatever they are. Just renounce them. You don't have to be emotional. And renounce Satan and command him to depart. And I've given you an example there. And then accept God's forgiveness and commit your whole life back to God. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes.
It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just very simple. You're clearing some channels. All right? Okay. Question? Okay.
Where are we raising them from if they let
him
into heaven?
Good. Let me answer that tomorrow morning. Yes. So I have to get the audio. So right? Because we're going to run out of time to do this renouncing. So, all right? So groups of three, because if there's four, it takes too long. So groups of three, please. Flip the chairs around. We'll put them all back together later. Not with your wife if your wife is here. Not with your husband if he's here. I want you to be honest about pornography and a few other things. Not with your dad if you came here. With your dad. Get to someone else. Better somebody who doesn't know you well. And just go through those four or five steps, please. Want groups of three, not groups of four.
You have to promise me tomorrow you'll have your phone.